Welcome, everyone, to the Real Nation Raiders podcast. I'm your host, Don Fadiato. We're actually doing a joint podcast who will also most likely post on his channel, Angry Raider, a.k.a. Eric. Feel free to introduce yourself to our audience, and we will introduce ourselves to your audience, so I'll let you take it away.
Hey, guys, what's up? Yeah, my name is Eric. I go by the Angry Raider just because I'm angry that the Raiders have been losing so much for the last two decades. But a huge Raider fan, really excited about the way things are going, and I just try my best to have absolutely no homers or bias towards the Raiders. Just try and be as brutally honest as possible.
Yeah. Well, everybody on our channel already knows, but for those listening to your channel who haven't listened to us, I'm Dominic Fadiato, Raiders fan for a long time, really since I was a little kid. My dad was always a diehard Raiders fan, kind of grew up a Chiefs fan. Just despite my dad, and then became a Raiders fan later on. But now I'm a diehard Raiders fan. You know, Raiders wall, Raiders everything, Raiders stickers on the car to piss off my wife. Pretty much everything Raiders you can awesome. Imagine, short of a tattoo, because I'm not a huge tattoo person. I'm pretty much hardcore Raiders fan. Damn.
That's good stuff, man.
Derek. And I'm Derek, and contrary to what some people on Twitter may say, I was a Raiders fan before Derek Carr was our quarterback, and my name is not Derek because Derek Carr is our quarterback. I've actually had some people say that to me on Twitter, believe it or not.
Twitter doesn't work. They just think you're like 6 years old or something?
Right?
Seriously, I mean, goddamn.
I've been a Raiders fan since the first John Gruden era. That was when I was old enough to like understand football, and I have a dog named Raider. I've commuted to Oakland to see the Raiders play while living in three different states. I currently live in the Phoenix metro area, and I'm just excited. I think the Raiders are turning things around, and I think this is going to be a hell of a season, and I think it will lead to lasting success, unlike our 2016 season, which was like a one-time success.
Yeah.
Adam?
Well, my name's Adam, a.k.a. Cherokee Raider. I live in West Virginia, so I'm on the East Coast. Most people that are Raider fans that I know, at least, are on the West Coast. Everyone on this podcast that live on the East or on the West Coast. Eric, you're in Italy, correct?
Yeah, I'm stationed over here in Italy. I actually lived in West Virginia for a little bit in Harper's Ferry, and I also lived in Mesa, Arizona. And I was born in Sacramento. I mean, I've pretty much been like every place you guys are. It's kind of
that's crazy. Crazy.
Are you in the military?
I was born in Sacramento too. I was born in Sacramento, and now I live in Tempe, which is, of course, as you know, right next to Mesa.
Yeah. I grew up in Elk Grove, just south of Sacramento.
That's where my grandma lives.
Wow, small world indeed.
Yeah, been to Elk Grove many times. So, but why are you in Italy right now? Sorry, Adam. Let me just ask real quick because I'm gonna forget. What are you in the military? Because you said station.
I'm an airborne infantryman stationed here with the 173rd Airborne.
I'm honored to do this podcast with you, man. Thank you for your service.
Hey, man, thank you for your support. I'm honored to do it with you, too, man.
It's cool to do something with some active military or vets, man. I support the troops 110%, and it's good to talk to a troop right now.
Hey, man, I appreciate the support, buddy.
Yes, sir, no problem. But anyway, back to why I'm a Raider fan. My dad was a big time Raider fan. I'm the youngest, I'm definitely the youngest in this podcast for sure. Apparently 19. So I really became a Raider fan. Let's see. The first memory I really have of the Raiders is like, I have like flashes of like Kerry Collins and stuff like that, but I really remember Jamarcus Russell and like Darren McFadden. Like, really one of my favorite moments as being a Raider fan was like seeing Darren McFadden stiff arm the shit out of Champ Bailey. That was great. Or seeing Sebastian Janikowski kick that record field goal in Mile High. That was another great moment. But that's like really my early days of being a Raider fan. I'm a diehard now, of course. I haven't missed a game in forever.
But the season, man, I think as long as our defense gets their shit together, man, there's no excuses. Like, our offense is, as you seen last week, powerful as shit. So we can get it done.
Well, that leads us into our topic of conversation, Eric. I'll let you kick it off with, we are now 3-2. What were your initial predictions up to this point? We did an initial predictions episode. I think I was the closest. I have to go back and check. I don't remember what your initial predictions were, but 3-2. How happy are you with that?
I actually did predict us going 3-2 at this point, if I can remember. I think I had slight games wrong. I think I had us beating Buffalo and losing to the Chiefs. But overall, I 99% sure I predicted us going 3-2. And overall, I mean, I'm happy with the direction. Those two games that we lost to, really, we had our chances, which is kind of a frustrating thing that I don't think, even though we lost to New England by I think 20 points or something, we, you know, thought that was truly much closer. So overall, I think like we're headed in the right direction. And then I thought the defense would be a little bit better, to be honestly, but overall, I mean, this is on par with what I envisioned.
I think we all hope for the defense to be better. Adam,
Your thoughts? I had us going actually 3-2 as well. I got the win against Carolina right, the win against New Orleans right. I thought we were going to beat the Patriots, so that's the game I got wrong. And I had us losing to the Bills and the Chiefs, so I got the Chiefs game wrong too. But I don't know. I think our offense is clicking. Obviously, our offense is better with Ruggs in. I think whenever he's hurt, that our offense isn't the same. Of course, speed kills, though. As you've seen, what he had 2 catches for 100 and some yards. Like I said, just a little bit ago, the defense, if they play like they did in the second half against Kansas City, like for the majority part of the year, good things are going to happen. That's just fact of the matter of the situation.
Now it's how do you get the defense to play like that the rest of the season? So Eric, exactly. what are your thoughts on having a bye this early? I think it's like the second earliest bye, because I think Tampa had theirs last week, so I think this is the second series of bye week, so it's pretty early on. Do you think it was good at this point in the season given our injuries, or do you wish it was later on?
Initially, I thought I wish it was later on. I prefer to have the bye week around, you know, game 8, which somewhere between game 8 to game 11. With all that being said, and this injuries is probably better to actually have it now. I mean, of course, injuries could pop up later in the season, but I still think that this is ended up being not a horrible bye situation. A lot of teams are having to go to bye earlier than expected too, because of COVID-19. It caused like 4 or 5 teams to go on bye earlier than expected. So at least the bye is as scheduled, and now it just it's okay. It's ended up being okay. I don't want to get too off topic, but what would be hopefully this doesn't happen. But what would be interesting, God forbid it doesn't happen, but say we have a situation later in the season where we're facing a team and either they have an outbreak or we have an outbreak and that game has to get rescheduled and we've already had our bye. I don't know what the hell the NFL is going to do then. Right. That's probably when the NFL adds a week 18. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But
yeah.
But overall, I think the bye now is okay.
Adam, bye week too early, just right?
I think I'm usually against a really early bye week, but this year is like an exception. We're banged up a little bit. You know, hopefully we get Incognito back. Who's the other people we got hurt? My mind's kind of blank. Incognito and who else? Edwards. Yeah, hopefully we get him back. So, you know, hopefully we just get healthy no matter who we got hurt. That's the good news with the bye week being early, but that bye week being early could really come back and bite us in the ass a little bit. Say, I'm not even going to say it, like, because I'm really superstitious and jinxes and stuff like that. But just say, y'all know what I'm talking about. But say that happens more, and we don't have another bye week. So if we get that big I word again, we're going to be maybe screwed because, you know, the early bye week. I like a later bye week, like week 8, like Derek said.
So, I don't know. We'll just see where it goes.
I want to point out that although we don't have another bye, obviously, we do play a Thursday game, which, and then obviously after that, we don't play until the following Sunday. So,
what were your initial thoughts of Raiders being 3-2, and what did you originally peg them at in the first 5 games to be?
Okay, so I don't have any record of this, but I legitimately did believe that the Raiders would be 3-2 at the beginning of the season. I just thought that the wins would come against Carolina, and then New England and Buffalo instead of against Carolina, New Orleans, and Kansas City. So, I mean, one way or another, we got there to 3-2, so I'm not too mad about it. Really, really stoked about it. Kind of nervous because at this point, we are also 3-2 coming off a very emotional win last season with a bye right after that. So, you know, not really celebrating just yet, but definitely hyped up about it and looking forward to it. I do think we'll be a little bit better this season than we were last season, though.
And that leads us into the other question that we asked was, given that the bye week is very early on right now, do you think, in your mind, having a bye week now with all the injuries is good, or would you wish we would have had a little bit later bye week to build that momentum?
I think it's good that we had it, but not because of the injuries. I mean, actually, so for NFL football, the Raiders are relatively healthy right now. I know we still have some key injuries, you know, along with like a Richie Incognito and David Arnett and some others going out there. But realistically, that's about as healthy as you can expect to be at any point in the NFL. So, you know, we're relatively healthy. But mostly it's because I'm watching all these teams having their games canceled, and the NFL is essentially changing their bye, like it just happened to the Denver Broncos, right? And so later on,
right. And that's what I was talking about earlier, and I hope this doesn't happen, but if there is a situation where we have an outbreak or our opponent does and a game has to be scheduled late on the season, since we've already had our bye, that could potentially cause real problems. That's when the NFL may implement a week 18. Hopefully it doesn't get to that, but like several teams are having to go on bye weeks where their bye weeks are, you know, later on in the season, and they're going on bye now. Yeah. Thankfully, that hasn't happened for us yet.
Next year, isn't there going to be a week 18 anyway?
Yeah, I think so.
So the NFL is going to expand to 17 games at some point, but it's going to happen between 2021 to 2023. They haven't said which season yet, but they're not even going to add another. They're going to add another game, but they're not going
to
add a
second. Yeah, see, that wasn't the proposal to shorten the preseason to 2 games, right? Or 3 games.
Well, no, three games.
Okay.
But I have a feeling the preseason may be wiped out altogether, because after players had this season without it, how are they going to, happy to play it next year after they didn't have to play it this year?
I'm glad you brought that up, I know me and Dom kind of agree about this. I think that a preseason, at least a couple games, is important. I don't know. I feel like, especially for like the rookies and like people that like wouldn't get as much playing time, and then an injury happens, and then they have to get put in and never play. Like Amik Robertson, that's a perfect example. He would have played in the preseason, and we didn't have a preseason this year. So his first NFL game, he struggled, and we've seen that. He got burnt a couple times. But in the second game, he played better. So I think preseason is vital, especially to the later round picks, so they can kind of get that speed of the NFL. I know it's just a preseason game, but even a preseason game is a lot faster, in my opinion, than college football.
Now, not only for that, for the rookies, but also it takes a while to really get your body in football condition. You know, so you have to get hit a few times. Your body has to take a few hits. You get used to it, and you can move on slowly and progress, so you can take the beatings of the NFL season.
And some people are like, well, how often would the starters really even get hit or really even play? They'll play at least a couple, especially in the third game of the preseason. Mm-hmm. That's like the biggest one. That's whenever the starters play a whole half, most of them. So I just feel like what you're saying, it gets them like on their like feet a little bit and gets their body prepared for the regular season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my question to you, and I'm going to start with you, Derek, is what are you most pleasantly surprised with this season so far, besides a record?
Most pleasant surprise, that is hard to come with, because I can't say I really didn't expect any. I can't say there's one that's really, really that surprising. I'm going to say John Gruden's play calling for the most part, because I'm a big Chucky supporter, but I think all of us on this podcast can agree that he has been notorious for being too conservative of a play caller. I think he's and there have been times where his play calling has looked that a little too conservative. I mean, if you remember week one on third and goal, we threw it short of the goal line. I don't know what the hell that's about. But I think over the Saints game, his play calling, especially in that second half, was really aggressive. Against New England and Buffalo, it was maybe a little too conservative at times. Last week, I think it was on point, and especially those two fourth down calls were huge. And also the third and 18 conversion to Renfro was huge, too, on that, because – I mean, how many times have we seen the Raiders when it's third and long where we just throw a dump off and get a few yards and then punt? So I think Gruden, if I had to say that the pleasant surprise, I would say it's Gruden's play calling, being more aggressive.
I will completely agree with you. He's still a little bit inconsistent, so I would like to see a little bit more consistency on that, not just with like the high-powered offenses, but just in general become our own high-powered offense. I would definitely like to see that. Eric, what's your biggest pleasant surprise so far in the season, being the angry Raider, of course?
Easy. It's Daniel Carlson. Last season, the Raiders' offense was really handicapped by Daniel Carlson, not only because he missed a few key field goals, specifically week 17 against the Denver Broncos and against the Jacksonville Jaguars, as well as that week 15, I think, that deliberately led to some losses. But also, the Raiders didn't have any field goals from like 45 yards out and beyond. And so now this season, he's already hit a couple of 54-yard field goals. It changes the game so much when you don't have to punt because you're at the 33-yard line, but you can kick a field goal and just score some plays that way and come away with some points from the drive. It changes and helps the offense so much, just that little bit.
Yeah, and if you think about it, those two games that you mentioned last season, we probably would have been in the playoffs.
Carlson still scares me. Like, I really feel like, I don't know, if it was like a clutch, like game-winning field goal, I would be really scared, because I just feel like his, I don't know, I just don't feel like he's a clutch kicker. He missed a lot of big kicks last year, and I don't know, he just scares me. Like, he's good, can make him, but he scares me.
The 54-yarder against New Orleans, while it wasn't technically like a game winner, it was a game sealer. And had he missed it, had he missed it, you know, the Saints would have had beautiful field position to go and tie the game.
Right. That's a good point. I mean, I was really like, I don't know. I've kind of like recanted my statements about Daniel Carlson. I've kind of apologized to him on Twitter a little bit. But I don't know. Same thing with Trent Brown, man. I was really like, I don't know, I was just after him all the time for being like hurt and stuff like that. And I was like, I would be the first one to say I was wrong if Trent Brown could come back and play, and literally the next game he comes back and plays. So hopefully he can stay on the ball, because he's elite if he can stay healthy. That's just our problem. If we can stay healthy, we'll be golden. So whenever we get Incognito back, I expect Jacobs to start running better. And I don't know. I really like Incognito. I feel like he helps our offensive line a lot as well.
Yeah, definitely. About Daniel Carlson making you nervous as a field goal kicker. When can we honestly say was a time that we were confident that our field goal kicker would go out and make that one? I mean, seriously. I was at a game in Arizona in 2010 where Sebastian Janikowski missed like three field goals and ended up losing that game. I was so mad. That was actually my very first Raiders game. So realistically, Raiders fans are kind of used to that.
You're right. I mean, CPAS made some hell of a kicks, though, to win some games, man. His leg was crazy. I'd love to have him back.
Janikowski had a leg, but Janikowski could make high 50s and 60 yarders in his sleep, and then that's randomly he would miss like a 37 yarder.
I mean, if you look at this season, most kickers have missed probably more extra point attempts than actual field goals beyond 20 yards. I mean, even from the Chiefs kicker, Buckner, I believe, like, he's a fantastic kicker. Like, he missed an extra point, like, but he made three in a row against San Diego from like 50 plus yards. So
this, like, yeah, the Chargers kicker, he missed a field goal to lose the game against the Saints.
Well, Chargers have never really had a good kicker.
Never.
they should really invest in one. And then I remember Tampa Bay's kicker, the Aguayo or whatever that they drafted,
the second round pick.
The second, yeah, and he was. Yep. Just, yeah, kickers are just not guaranteed. Anyways, Adam, go ahead. Your biggest surprise.
It's not really more of a surprise. It's more of a, that's what I thought was going to happen whenever we had the players to do it, is our offense. You know, we had, I was talking about this in the group chat a little bit earlier, but it was like Keelan Doss and Marcel Aitman and all them other Bush League wide receivers that we had on our team last year. And Carr still had a good year. Like, he didn't have a great year, but he still threw for 4,000 yards. And still, what, he only threw, what, 7-8 interceptions last year? So, I mean, he still had a good year. So, I just like to see whenever we have weapons like Nelson Aguilar. I didn't think he was going to do anything, honestly. I didn't even think he was going to make the roster. I'm eating my words now, and I'm really glad he's on our team. Henry Ruggs, of course, and Waller's back and everything. I'm just glad to see how good our offense can be whenever we actually have some weapons. And it makes me feel good hearing the Carr haters shut their mouths whenever they prove it. You know, it's just, it's great. And I love to see our offense in tune and love to see us clicking. I don't know. I feel like nowadays, you know, the old saying is defense wins championships, offense sells tickets. Well, nowadays, I think that might not be the case, because look at the Chiefs last year. You know, their defense isn't great. Obviously, we just put up 40 on them. But their offense is just insane, whether it's – and I'm going to say it, bombshell alert, don't hate me or don't ridicule me, Raider Nation. I think Patrick Mahomes is overrated, but I think
his weapons around him. Whoa, don't bring that evil on us, Ricky Bobby. You just cursed us.
No. I just think he's over. His offensive weapons make him better than what I think he seems. But anyway, offense wins championships nowadays, and I'm glad to see that our offense is clicking.
I just would hate for us to have to put up 30, 40 points a game just to make up for the lack of poor defense.
Right.
Even the Chiefs, you know, they arguably have a better offense than us because they have lots of weapons with unlimited salary cap. And they have a better defense than we do. So statistically, they should beat us every time. I guess it just comes down to will at the end of the day. And
we're the only, obviously it's early in the season, but we're the only opponent who has put up more than 20 against the Chiefs, and we put up 40.
Yeah.
So their defense, like 2018, their defense was horrible, but the past 2 years, their defense has been good. I mean, Chris Jones is a monster, and so that Chiefs defense, they're still an offensive team, but their defense is not. Well,
they got some good players. They got the Honey Badger and Chris Jones. So, I mean, but we got kind of the – I'm not even going to put Max Crosby or anything on Chris Jones's, like, level or not, but we still got – I mean, our defensive line's terrible. I still think that, and I think we should sign Irving, the dude that's getting reinstated. And I think that we should maybe push a trade for Williams in New York. So just to make that defensive line a little bit better.
We have Eric Harris. Right. Nobody there? Yeah.
What's the opposite of the Honey Badger?
Eric Harris.
The Sloth? What's up?
Yeah.
This is a good question. Who would you much rather have, Reggie Nelson or Eric Harrison?
Reggie Nelson. He at least a Pro Bowler.
I'm talking about the Raiders, Reggie Nelson. Not the Bengals, Reggie Nelson.
No, he still made a Pro Bowl on the Raiders.
Did he? In 2016. Okay, yeah. That was 2016,
yeah,
wasn't it?
The first year we had Reggie Nelson, he was good. The last 2 years, he was garbage. But the Reggie Nelson we had that first year was good.
I'm talking about after that.
I mean, he's still a smart player. He was just so slow.
Slow, right?
About that. All right. I have two more topics, and we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to start with you, Eric. What is your biggest disappointment so far this season?
The defensive line. Other than the game against Kansas City, they haven't been able to generate any kind of pressure whatsoever. I really thought that with the addition of Malik Collins and then run with him and Hurst and some kind of combination of Max Crosby with Carlton Sieve or Clint Farrell or Arden Key, that the Raiders would be able to create natural pressure on third and long and that they wouldn't be able to give up those. Now, they brought it against the Kansas City Chiefs, but the first four games, the pass rush was non-existent. It was really, really frustrating.
Well, they also bought it against the Chiefs at 30. I think it was like 36 pressures, which is ridiculous, without Mo Hurst and Malik Collins. So is it a Mo Hurst, Malik Collins problem, or was the Chief offensive line just that bad?
I honestly think that overall the Chiefs offensive line is pretty good. I mean, they're decent. Any Andy Reid team is going to have a decent offensive line just because he can go out and pretty much outcoach every position coach there is in the NFL and coach them better. And so he will take on the offensive line and help them and improve them. Is it a Malik Collins problem? Maybe, definitely, maybe. Maurice Hurst problem? No, I don't see it as that way.
Derek, biggest disappointment?
I'm going to have to agree with Eric on here. I almost get to say specifically Malik Collins is the number one disappointment on the defensive line. Gruden really, really hyped up this signing, although we only signed him to a one-year deal. He made it sound like this guy was going to be the adding to the defense. And I think him, I'm gonna get some more disappointments. He is as big a disappointment as Corey Littleton is. They are specifically the biggest disappointments. Littleton just doesn't. Both players just kind of seem lost out there. Littleton specifically is not doing a coverage. Is not as good as coverage as we hope to be. We hope that he would like contain Travis Kelce to like 60 or 70 yards. Travis Kelce still had over 100 on Sunday. I'm leaning towards saying it as a Gunther problem. I don't think Collins and Littleton can succeed in Gunther's system. With all that being said, yes, I did give a shout out to Gunther last weekend. So go ahead and call me a hypocrite, Raider Nation. Go ahead. I thought he deserved a shout out last week for basically shutting out the Chiefs in the second half, but that doesn't mean I'm overall happy with his scheme. Collins and Littleton. Gunther needs to find a way to get them successful, or they need to find a way to be successful despite Gunther, or we need a new defensive coordinator. One of those three things need to happen because we did spend $80 million on defense this past offseason. Collins is only on a one-year deal, but Littleton is on a four-year deal. We need production at the defense overall, but those two specifically have been very disappointing.
Littleton definitely played better in the second half.
Yes, he did.
I think Littleton has the most missed tackles out of like anyone. I think he has 11 total missed tackles already.
Well, you know, we knew at the beginning of the season, realistically, if we were being honest with ourselves, we knew that the defense would take time to gel. There was so much turnover, you know, with Corey Littleton, Carl Nassib, you know, Damon Arnett, and Nick Kwiatkowski. We knew that there was just too much turnover and not enough OTAs and preseason for the defense to come out firing on all cylinders. So we knew it would take a while. But, I mean, there's no reason that the pass rush should not have been good from the get-go.
Right.
Yeah, the pass rush is just like is Mad Max by himself, basically.
Yeah. I still don't understand why we signed Nassib. I don't like that signing. I feel like we're paying him too much money just to really – hardly ever come down. I've noticed him more on the field these last couple games, but I still think we should have kept Mayoa because yes. I'm pretty sure Mayoa is like beasting right
yes.
now.
Yes. So.
But I know Mayock knew that guy, so I mean, I understand why he might have brought him in, but I just don't think it was the right move for the D-line.
Massive, though, is actually probably one of our best pass rushers right now, statistically.
That's crazy.
For pressures. And he's only played like 10% of the snaps. So right. If you think about it, he needs to be on the field more, not
field
less.
More. Right.
And even, and I know people have some hatred, Adam, against Arden Key, but I think Arden Key almost single-handedly stopped Mahomes, like I said, last week with just standing there. He wasn't even rushing. He was just standing there, making sure he would not run out of the pocket. And once that happened in the second half, nothing, Mahomes can, you know, scramble or do anything at that point. So like I said, I don't know if that was a Key thing or a Gunther thing, whatever it was, it just stopped Mahomes. So hopefully it all gets better. So this leads into my final topic. The rest of the season, I'm going to end it with you, Eric, and I'm going to start with you, Adam.
All right.
The rest of the season, do you think we're going to, you know, with the Browns doing good, except not today, a lot of teams, you know, doing better than expected, you know, in the AFC, you know, you have, you know, the Colts and the Browns and the Steelers, you know, the Patriots, the Bills, you know, all these AFC teams that are going to fight for those wild card spots, even with the extra spot. Do you think, Adam, that we're going to be able to make it into the playoffs this season?
I genuinely believe that we can. The problem is, and what could really hinder that, is the defense. And we play some good offensive teams here. Let's just start naming. I'm going to just name one of them. This is the biggest one that I'm mainly concerned about, even though they're losing today, is the Browns. You know, the Browns, I feel like, are better on paper than – or on paper, of course. But, like, I feel like they're better than what people think they are. And Baker Mayfield isn't the greatest and whatnot. But we got some good offensive teams that we're playing. I seen something where – I don't know what source it was, saying that we had the easiest schedule remaining. The same thing was said last year, okay? No games are easy in the NFL, okay? This is why games are played on Sunday. Anyone can win on any given Sunday. And for us to win most of the time, okay, we're going to have to do two things. We're going to have to execute on offense, not turn the ball over. And on defense, we're going to have to get stops on third down. And turnovers, okay? So if we do that, we will make the playoffs. If not, if we do not do them things, I'm not worried about offense. I'm more worried about the defense. If we do not do those things, I will not be surprised if we finish with a winning record and not make the playoffs.
Well, let's hope. Derek, are we going to make the playoffs?
I do think we're going to make the playoffs, and I'm even comfortable in saying that we will make the playoffs even if the defense does not improve. It would be a lot less stressful if the defense improves. Our chances will definitely go up, but we could make it even if the defense keeps being as bad as they absolutely are, because I truly believe our offense is that good. When I look at the AFC, you know, I think I would still say KC is probably going to win the West. Baltimore or Pittsburgh is going to win the North, and whoever doesn't win the North is probably going to get a wild card spot. Buffalo is the favorite in the East, and then remember we got three wild card spots. One of them I'm pretty sure is locked up between the second place of Pittsburgh and Baltimore. So that leads two spots. We'll be fighting with. I think the contenders for that spot would probably be us, Cleveland, maybe New England. Although I think New England's going to have a losing record after today. I still couldn't count them out. And Indy. And I think even though we lost to New England, I think our offense is much more explosive than all those teams, with the possible exception of Cleveland. Although Cleveland today is playing horrible against an elite team. So I think we'll be 6 or 7. I think 10 wins at the least. Maybe if things go our way, we can get up to 12 wins. I tweeted on Twitter this week that we could and would are completely different things. We're not going to go 14-2, but we could. There's honestly not a team left on the schedule that I can say I look at it and say it's a guaranteed loss. We beat KC, we beat the Saints, we can beat any team remaining on our schedule. We're that talented enough. Obviously, we won't do that, though. But, yes, this team is
Some breaking news real quick. There's 3 minutes and 14 seconds left in the fourth quarter of this Broncos-Patriots game. The score is 18-12, Broncos, right? But Drew Lock just threw an interception with 3 minutes and 14 seconds
so
to
we'll,
go.
We'll wrap this up so we can watch it. Eric, are we making the playoffs?
You know, I'm kind of mad.
I already don't like this answer.
I'm kind of mad that Derek at the very end said that because we beat the Kansas City Chiefs, that there isn't a game that I look at the schedule anymore and say that there isn't that game is a guaranteed loss, because that took the words right out of my mouth, dang it. And so it is the truth. You know, I was talking about it. I made an episode, a preview of the Chiefs game with a Chiefs fan, pretty cool guy, his name's Scott. And I was talking to him later. I'm like, hey, of course he does make all sorts of excuses, but you know, he's a really cool guy. And I told him like, hey, if we can beat Kansas City, we can beat everybody. Now, are we going to bring that same pass rush every single week? Because that's really what it comes down to. The NFL, with the schedule, with the quarterbacks, with the rules, with how they're protecting the offensive players, all that stuff, you're not going to force teams to punt often enough. You have simply by, you know, stopping them and by maintaining your gaps and playing and covering good. You have to create turnovers. You have to get sacks. You know, so if we bring that pass rush every week, I mean, forget it. We're Super Bowl contenders. Forget about going to the playoffs. We'll be legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I don't think we will. I'm a little concerned that, much like the Bears win last season, that this was just an emotional win that we can't really use to build momentum going forward. But I also do realize that we are a much more talented team, a much deeper team than we were last year. And especially on offense, with the continuity that we've had with most of our skilled players, and with Derek Carr, the offensive line, and John Gruden, you know, and Josh Jacobs, we've had so much continuity on that that's really starting to take off. So, I mean, yes, it can happen. We can beat any team. But so hopefully this win gives us confidence, much like Matt Millen said that 1980 Raiders team that beat the Chargers in week 6, where they were 2-3 at the time, and they beat them. And the Chargers were pretty much the Chiefs in 1980, the best offensive team, and acknowledged as the best team in the NFL. And they whipped them, and then they gained so much confidence for such a young team that they were able to use that to propel them to win the Super Bowl in 1980 with all those guys. So, you know, hopefully it's more like the 1980 Raiders than it is the 2019 Raiders.
Well, you heard it here. Derek said we're going 14-2, and Eric said we're winning the Super Bowl. So that's what I heard. That's what I'm taking away from this. Really quick, wrap it up, because I want to watch the rest of the Broncos game and hopefully watch them lose and make my day. Adam, are we beating the Patriots? I think Tom Brady, are we beating the Bucks on Sunday night?
I genuinely believe yes. I think that we do. Main reason is the momentum off of the KC game. It's in Las Vegas, correct?
It is.
Yep.
Okay.
And Sunday night.
So, I mean, I feel like that, I don't know, primetime games scare me, especially coming off of a big win. I feel like sometimes that we play on primetime after a big win and we kind of like lay an egg. Let's hope that does not happen. But yeah, I genuinely believe that we can beat the Bucks. I think it'll be another shootout, unfortunately. But get ready for your blood pressure to be raised. I'm ready.
Derek, are you going to beat the Bucks?
We're going to beat the Bucks, and let me tell you what the main reason why we're going to beat the Bucks is. Tom Brady is the Buccaneers quarterback. What team was Tom Brady rumored to go to this past offseason?
Every.
When Derek Carr moved to Las Vegas, he got the Las Vegas paper, and he saw rumors about Brady going to Vegas. What Derek Carr... I think Derek Carr is going to come out with a vengeance and take this personally. Derek Carr may right now be better than Tom Brady right now. Obviously, Tom Brady's had a much better career. But Derek Carr is going to come out, and I think he's going to be pissed, and he's going to bring this offense. He's going to put up points, and he wants to show on national TV that the Raiders didn't make a mistake by bringing in the 43-year-old Brady. He is going to be the main. That is going to be the main reason why we win next week.
Final word, Eric.
Are we going to beat the Bucs? Yes, we're winning 36-24. Too easy.
Awesome.
I like the confidence,
everybody. There we go. Check out if you're listening to the Real Nation Raiders podcast. Check out Eric's podcast, the Angry Raider podcast, and people on Eric's channel on the Angry Raider podcast. Feel free to check out ours, the Real Nation. We appreciate it. We will collaborate again in the future, and I appreciate everybody's time on the bye week.
Hey guys, I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Get
away. Yep, no problem.
No problem.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Bye, everyone.